Okay, friends, we'll be covering chapter 2 of HRM now in this session. It's called as job analysis. Now, what's a job? A job is nothing but it's a series or a set of tasks, activities and functions which we do to achieve a certain objective which we have set for ourselves. When we say a job has to be accomplished, it means that there is a set of activities that we need to do. An organization is a formal entity. It's existing for a purpose, the purpose of serving society. So when an organization is there to serve society for its needs, organizations needs to have discipline. It needs to have certain types of clear-cut way of operating. It should be very structured. If an organization needs to be structured, the job functions which people are doing in the organizations also need to be structured, obviously. So we have to be very clear cut about who does what job, what should be done, what need not be done, what is expected and who should do it. When we are an informal group, as far as jobs are concerned, people would be flexible when it comes to job functions. When we go for a picnic, for example, we may have 3 or 4 people arranging the picnic activities. One person may take care of the catering, one person may arrange for the transportation, and our experience, we know it, that the person who is arranging for the transportation may do it in his own manner. There is no clear-cut job analysis done, there is no clear-cut job definition given there, because it's an informal group, the accountability levels are not very high, right? But when it comes to an organization, imagine a picnic that is being conducted by an organization. Then it will be a different thing. We are going in a very structured manner. So people have to do their job functions very, very clear cut, because it is involving a formal picnic. It's a formal picnic. Unlike a picnic that is being held by a number of people who are informal, that is friends. So when we come to an organization, this particular term job needs a lot of analysis. We need to understand what is a job, what does it comprise, who is to do the job, and what are the clear-cut functions which is absolutely unambiguous to anybody who takes up the job to do. So this chapter deals with how we analyze the job and how we arrive at certain aspects of the job and what are the different factors we need to consider. So taking it further, what are the objectives of the session? The nature and importance of job analysis we'll be covering. The process of job analysis in organization, how it is done, the stages in which it is done, the different methods used in collecting job related data, nature of job design and the factors affecting job design. Nature and importance of job analysis, the very first one, let's discuss it now. And here we'll be covering different methods of collecting job data. Problems faced in job analysis. Nature and importance of job design and factors affecting job design. And finally, we'll be doing the summary. So, we talking about job analysis now. Now, before that, I would like to define job. A very simple definition. Job J is equal to T1 plus T2 plus T3 plus T4, so on. T stands for task. I'm giving my own terminology. Job J is equal to T1 plus T2 plus T3 plus T4. Each of the tasks has got a number of activities A1, A2, A3, A4. And then you can further strip it down to operations. So a job is comprising many, many activities and many, many operations. This job is to be understood. So what we do is we rip open the job. Let's take this job of me talking to you on the camera right now. This job is comprising number of tasks. Task 1. Preparation of the module, what you see on the board. Task 2, coming here prepared, setting up the whole camera, everything for the shoot session. Task number 3 will be actual delivery. And task number 4, after the delivery, we may have to do the editing. Now, each of these tasks has got its own activities. For me to prepare, I have to read the book. I have to put down notes of my experiences, which I want to narrate to you. I'll have to get some cue cards if necessary. Those are all the various activities. Now, taking the reading the book activity, When I read the book, I may have to go through some operations, highlighting. In short, what are we doing? We are taking the whole job and splitting it down to small components. That's what we do. And then what we are doing is we are analyzing which of these components are required to do the job effectively, which of the ones are not required. Which of the jobs are critical and which of the jobs are not so critical. There are certain jobs which are the support functions and there are certain jobs which have to be done. The must do, what we call it as a KRA, critical key result areas. So those have to be done, there is no negotiation on that. Right? So what are we doing? Here we start off by the process of collecting information about a job. Now this used to be done manually once upon a time. Today we have got agencies, we have got HR outfits which actually do the specialized function of doing what is called a JDI, job description analysis. They do that, right? So job analysis involves collection of information that includes knowledge, skill and ability an employee possesses to perform a job effectively. Essentially, there is some work to be done, and to do that work we need to know what is the work to be done, A, the job proper, and who should be the job holder. There are two components to completing a job: the job proper and the job holder. Job holder is a human element, the job proper is a human is the job itself. I am talking to you right now, this is the job. The job holder is me. Now, to get the job done, there are two components that need to come together: the job and the job holder. For the job holder, we have a separate analysis which we call as performance appraisal. But for job, we need to do what is called a job analysis. So this job needs to be effectively communicated to you, whatever I am doing right now. But who does it? It can be me, it can be any other faculty colleague of mine. Right? So I will be appraised for what I do. The human being is appraised, whereas the job is analyzed. These are the two terminologies we use in HR. Performance appraisal of the job holder and the analysis of the job. What's the need to analyze a job? There are several needs. We'll be understanding as we go down the process of this particular module. Data is collected and used for planning, hiring and training of employees in deciding compensation and for performance appraisal. I need to know which are the jobs to be done. Which are the critical parts of the job? There are two parts, I said. One is critical side, the other one is the support side. The critical job, for example, a salesman, the most critical thing he has to do is to get sales. He has to go and meet customers, do prospecting, talk about the product or the service, and ensure that he influences them to buy the product or the service. That's a must do, for which he is being paid principally. Critical part of his job, KRA. But for doing this KRA, he needs to have what is called as a support function, something which is of an admin nature. He has to write a report of the visits he has made. He has to submit the vouchers and he has to do several other things which, if they are not done, it is not going to be a major issue for him. But if they are done, what would happen is it will make the job complete in every respect. Now, all these things have to be listed down. If you take the job analysis for a salesman, then we have to put down all the different tasks which he is supposed to do. On the top will be the tasks which are most crucial. Below would be the tasks which are less crucial or support functions. Now, while we are putting down all the different tasks, we will come across certain tasks which we will realize are really not important. We may have to eliminate that. Earlier on, this used to be done by sitting across, experts used to sit within the company from the user department, the HR people, and then they used to all write down, okay, what do you think this job will entail? So X will say, okay, this is what it entails. This could be highly subjective. I may expect a salesman, for example, to do something which may not be really required to be done as far as the sales function is concerned. So when there is a number of heads coming together and they discuss, we come across something which is objective and we freeze it. So it is a set of tasks which are all put one below the other in a descending order of importance. And when we do that, why are we doing it? We are doing it for two purposes. One is, when we are hiring an employee, we want to know what is it that he must do. And for doing that, how much should I pay him? Compensation. So we have job analysis is also useful in an area which is called as job evaluation. we give value factors to each job that is being done. So based on the value, the compensation is correlated. So wages and salary fixation is related to the job analysis and job evaluation. So that is one of the purposes of job analysis. Now, human resources planning, it determines as to how many and what kind of personnel will be needed to meet future business requirements. One of the aspects is human resources planning, HRP. How many people we are going to be hiring this year or this quarter? What is going to be the requirement? And what exactly is going to be the type of people whom we want? At what levels? At what compensation level? This is something which we need to very, very clearly understand. We need to make the numbers happen. This is not an easy job. It's quite challenging. Especially when the organization is very huge. The dimension of, you know, Infosys or L&T are very large companies. The manpower planning becomes very complex. But this is something that we need to do. Recruitment and selection comes immediately after that. The objective in hiring employees is to match the right people with the right job. As we say, right person for the right job. An understanding of types of skills required for different types of jobs available from job analysis serves this purpose. So when I do a job analysis, I get what is a product which is called as job specification. A job analysis results finally as a product called job specification. Now that becomes a basis for me to hire the right person for the right job. It's a document, it's a sheet which becomes a reference sheet when we want to hire people. So that's the second importance of job analysis. That's where it's useful again. Then it's also useful in training and development of people. The job spec sheet tells us that this is the type of skills a person needs to have. During the course of his work, we realize that those skills are not either in him or he's not bringing it out of himself. So there could be some disconnect between the job which he's supposed to do and what he's actually delivering. So if I have a job analysis properly done and I exactly know at that position what type of a job he needs to do and there's a shortfall, then that becomes an easy way to understand where is the training gap and what is it that I need to train him in. So job analysis helps us to understand training and development requirements as well. Next comes remuneration. As I told you, job analysis results in job evaluation. So the value of each tasks or each jobs is put down one below the other in a descending order. So when I know that this job has got this value, it needs to be paid that much amount of money, remuneration, compensation. For example, operational jobs at the lower level of the pyramid of the organization, people who are into, say, sales, workmen at the shop floor, the nature of the job is less complex, is having certain clear-cut understanding about what is to be delivered, as compared to a middle manager's job, an HOD's job, which is a little complex because it involves certain deliverables which are tangible, which can be measured, and certain actions which are not easily measurable. For example, how would I know whether I'm a effective manager with my team or not? That is highly intangible. It could be quite subjective. So as we rise up in the organization, the jobs become less specific and more generic. It becomes a little tough, a little challenging to evaluate jobs as we go higher and higher. Now, even there, excellent HR people, good HR people, who have got a very good vast experience in understanding the various nature of jobs in the different levels, they are able to quantify or they are able to qualify, saying that at this level, this is what is expected of the person. There's a tangible element of delivery, measurable. It could be rupees paise, the profits that you make, the sales figures that you churn out, or it could be the number of employees whom you hire. That's a tangible part of it. But there's an intangible part of it. That intangible part of it needs to be properly understood. So, as we go higher in the ladder, in the corporate ladder, the jobs become more valuable to the company. Naturally, since they are valuable, why do they become valuable? They become valuable because the intangible element is very high. The human element is very high. Between manager A and manager B, manager A will be much more effective because of the skills which is developed. It is subjective to the person's attitudes, his personalities, his skills, etc. Knowledge base is the same for all, but certain people go ahead than the others. And at that position, it is expected through the job analysis that the person has to have these human qualities also, besides these deliverables. So naturally, when the human qualities are demanded at that stage, a human being exerts himself to give those qualities. Now, because I exert myself in developing new relationships, in developing new equations with people, my colleagues, the people at my peer level, it's a different type of a behavior I need to stretch. So when I stretch myself into that behavior, what happens? I need to be paid more because I'm coming out of my comfort zone. Initially, when I'm only working and giving tangible output, no issues. But the moment I go to intangible areas, I have to stretch myself. Not everybody stretches themselves. That's the reason why many people do not rise beyond a certain level in organizations. So that is again connected with, so the moment I say job evaluation, the job is evaluated, and from the evaluation we are able to draw up what sort of remuneration packages have to be decided at different levels. Okay. Next we talk about performance appraisal. As I told you, I have to appraise a human being, the person who is doing the job holder. And this job holder, I have got to know whether the job has been properly done or not. There are many instances where we hire a person for a certain job. The job analysis seems to have been done. I am using the word seems to have been done, the term. They hire a person X, he doesn't do the job properly. His appraisal says it's very poor, he is not able to deliver. Then there is a person B coming, B is also not able to deliver. Then C comes in, D comes in, number of people come in, they are not able to do the job and they are seen as flops. It can affect the human beings who are doing the job. Very few HR people, very few people, top management will realize, is there something about the job which is not making the job holder being effective? In other words, relook into the job analysis. Have we really analyzed the job properly? Is there some component of the job which is very tough? Is there some component which is putting off people? Is there some component we are missing out? So when we do a job analysis, we have to be very clear that when the performance appraisal takes place of the job holder, it should be something which is achievable. So the job analysis has to bring about a job specification, which is an achievable job specification for an average individual who can hold the job. We are not talking about superhumans, we are not talking about people who are down below. There is an average middle path in which an average person will be able to do the job. That's what is expected. So, my job analysis has to ensure that the performance appraisal is brought about in an equitable fashion to a person who has got the average skills to do the job. This requires a lot of research and analysis to fix this parameter. Okay? Then we talk about safety and health. Now, when we analyze a job, especially jobs which require manual labor, jobs which require you to work with hazardous chemicals in a factory or something, then we also define in that job specification sheet what are the things that needs to be avoided and what are the things that need to be done with a lot of safety measures. So the job analysis also leads us to understanding, addressing the safety and the health issues of the job that the job analysis is analyzing. Now this is a flowchart, how it is done. First we make what is called as a strategic choice. Strategic choice means we have options, we have got different paths. So which type of a path we are going to choose in analyzing, in identifying the job. A job X has to be done. If a job X has to be done, I've got three or four different ways of doing it. Now my organization says that we would like to have this job done in this path A, strategic choice. For example, let's take banking industry. Two banks are there, Bank A and Bank B. Bank A says that we will reach the customer by direct contact. Bank B says that we will reach the customer through media, through channels. I'm just giving you an example. So Bank A makes a strategic choice of meeting the customer directly. So Bank A will have a job analysis done according to that particular path which they carve. Strategic choice. Once the strategic choice is made, I gather information about the job. And this information which I gather, how the job has to be done, I gather information from several sources. Published sources, from past experiences, from competitor information, from the trade, the bodies to whom we belong. Every industry has got its own industry trade body. So from that body you come to know there are a lot of published data. And we come to know from the marketplace information. So we gather the information, then we process it. And after processing it, we arrive at, we take the best and leave the rest with respect to the choices we make. And having done that, we go along and describe the job. I want you to note down the following words in your book. It starts off with job. The job is followed by job analysis. And the job analysis is followed by job description. And the job description is followed by job specification. So job, job analysis, job description, and job specification. So in a job description, we are finally arriving at what is the job that needs to be done. It is given in a clear-cut, articulated form in simple words so that everybody understands. No jargon, no complication, no words that are assumed. Things are very clear and implicit. This is how a job description should be. So far, up to that point, up to the fourth block in this block diagram, job description addresses the job proper. Now, the moment I want the job to be done by someone, the job has to be associated with the job holder's qualifications, experience, background, etc. So, we can safely say the job specification is equal to job description plus the human qualities required to do the job. Today, we give it a different name. We say job profile. So job specification is nothing but when you add the human element to the job description, you get what is called as a job specification. And that becomes a starting point for hiring, recruiting and selecting people. That becomes a document. Okay, so these are the steps through which we go through. Taking it further, friends, now I've already explained this strategic choice, employee involvement, I've already explained this. Let me cover it a little more detail. An organization has to make choices regarding the employee involvement, the level of details, timing and frequency, orientation and sources that are used to collect data. How many employees I need to hire? Now, in this particular job, do I want the employee to involve himself to 80% of the job? What sort of involvement we need to have? Now, there are organizations which expect the employee to get involved in the job from start to finish. So, they may have a different job profile. In the same industry, another organization will say nothing doing, out of the 10 steps in the job, this employee has to do only 4 steps, the remaining 4 will be done by somebody else. So they divide it, and that is a direct function of the top management and the culture of the company. So this strategic choices is decided by the top management. Employee involvement. Too much involvement can result in employee inflating job duties and responsibility, and too little in suspicion about the process and inaccurate, incomplete analysis. So in other words, employee involvement should be a part of the whole job analysis thing. When I analyze a job and I put the jobs together, it should have adequate amount of employee involvement or employee engagement. See, when I do a job, right now I'm talking to you, I must feel motivated to talk to you. I must feel this whole job has got this element of, you know, excitement with which I'm connecting to you. That's very important. So this employee involvement is to be incorporated in the process of the job analysis. It's very important. See, I'll give you an example. In a typical IT-based organization, it's likely that we structure a job in such a way that the human element or the employee involvement is not considered. You know, it's taken very robotically. It's taken like an automated approach. You come there, you sit on the computer, you work, you do this delivery, you take these phone calls, you answer them, give them solutions, and off you go. The human element and the motivation factors may not be, I'm not saying it is not done, may not be included into the as an employee involvement factor into the job design or the job analysis. It's possible. So we need to take into account the human element of the employee involvement as well in the process.
taking it further, levels of analysis. Now, this is very important. Now, the level of analysis affects the nature of the data collected. The level is dependent on the nature of the job to be analyzed. What is it? What do you mean by level? Level means a job is taken and I want to know whether the job can be done in a detailed manner. And when I am doing it in a detailed manner, how it goes up and up the organization in terms of the output. The level could be, say, on a scale of 1 to 10, the level could be only 5. And they'll say, I would like to have a job profile or a job analysis done only up to level 5 out of 10. So, on that basis, I will be structuring a particular data. I'll be taking only that data. Example, if I want to do a complete salesman's job, okay, if I have to sell, let's say, a pen, and I have to start from prospecting right up to finishing selling the pen and also getting the check payment from the customer. Now, this will consist of a number of tasks to be done. Now, all this, if I have to do as a salesman of a pen company, then I need to have a job analysis done for each and every task of mine. The levels of analysis will be higher. Instead, the pen company decides that I may not want to do everything from A to Z. From prospecting till the time I realize the check. They may not want me to do that. As a company culture, as a policy, they'll say that you will be doing ABC. And then there'll be another department or another group of people who will be doing DEF and so on. Then the level at which we have to do the analysis may be restricted for these three things which I am doing. In other words, depending upon the nature of the job and the involvement with the employee is supposed to have, the analysis is done according to that. Now, when I talk about levels, I can go laterally up in terms of more number of information and also across in terms of varied information. A tire company, for example, may want to have more information about the various tire company manufacturers' wages and salaries which they are paying. Detailed idea. And who is doing what job? For example, a production engineer in a tire company A may be doing only 10 activities or 10 tasks. In the same designation, in another company may be doing maybe only 4 tasks. Or they may be doing 20 tasks. Or they may be doing the entire round of things from start to finish. Possible. So, I have to get a lot of information from across and also vertically up down. This is a very important aspect. This is a very specialized thing to be done by people who have got all the resources. Normally, this type of an analysis is not done in HR departments of organizations. There are HR consultants, HR outfits who actually do this job because they are quite specialized. They focus only on that. Okay. Timing and frequency. New organization initiates the job analysis for the first time. Whenever you are doing a startup, a new company, you need to do a job analysis. You must know what is being done by whom, what is expected from them, what are the deliverables and what sort of remuneration you need to give them. This is very important. Okay. When the firm is established, the analysis is carried out when new jobs are introduced or when a job changes significantly due to technology and also when imbalance in remuneration is noticed. If I want to start off with a benchmark, a standard, many organizations, startups, they just start. So initially things are very easy. They are very simple. They are not complex. As the organization grows, complexity increases. When number of employees come in small organizations, all of us have noticed that everybody is doing everything and there is a lot of blurring of job profiles. I am doing something, somebody else is also doing something and everybody is overlapping. Confusion and chaos and misunderstandings. If I as a startup decide that this should be the clear-cut job profile of the person whom I am hiring, then from the start itself, I am putting myself into a discipline of clear-cut communication about job profiles as well as remuneration. Is that not important? 90% of the confusion, 90% of the chaos takes place and bad feelings generate because people do not know what is the job they are supposed to do because people do not create job profiles. It's very loose. Now, those of you are listening to me who want to think professional and want to have a lot of peace of mind, you want to run your companies pretty well, owners of companies who are listening to me, it'll be worthwhile for you to really go along and create job profiles of everybody, including the peon, including the tea, the person who's serving the tea in the tiny canteen of yours, wherever you are located. Now, when you have those things very clear cut, what happens is you're very clear about what needs to be done and what needs to be not done. Is it important? It's very important. In fact, I would go to the extent of saying that I, as a startup person, needs to know what is my own job profile. I need to analyze my job. All businesses start with emotions and passion. We get a thrill out of starting businesses. I was thrilled in 1996 when I started my own consultancy. It is a great heady thing. But after that, I had to take time off to ask myself a question. What are the things I need to do? And what are the things I need to delegate to someone else whom I hire? Today I have people working with me. But then we are very clear about what jobs who is doing in a very clear-cut manner. Now this is a simple exercise. It gives you a lot of clarity of thought. No confusion. Everybody knows what they are supposed to do. Things become easier. This, unfortunately, is absent in many organizations, either by default or by design. I suspect the second is more rampant because companies, well, good companies, good brands also have noticed. Sorry to say, they hire people, they give them a job profile in the appointment letter. At the end of it, these guys are handling everything and anything, sometimes not even what is given in the profile, and they get disgusted. Whether it's a strategy or whether it is being done for this purpose is anybody's guess. Now, at the end of it, my only bottom line is I ask myself a question. After hiring a person and he or she not getting a clarity about the job that he's doing, what's the outcome to your own organization? I mean, it's going to ruin your own organization. So why do people use this strategy, if at all they're using it? Let us have a clarity that when I'm hiring a person, let me give him clarity about what he needs to do. If I give him clarity of what he needs to do, he will add value to my company, he will retain, he will find meaningfulness, he will get motivated. Most of you listening to me will agree that today job profiles are not very clear cut. In the name of multitasking, in the name of multi-skills, you know, you are taken in, and even if you have to take some additional work, it should be conveyed to you. You should be made to be engaging into that thing emotionally. Once that engagement happens, people are willing to stretch themselves to any limits of working for the organization. Some organizations actually do this very well. Some of my clients for whom I'm doing training, I've seen some of them really doing it so well. People are willing to stretch. When job profiles are given, job analysis is done, and when the profiles are set, then and everybody works as per the profile as much as possible. I'm not saying you have to be too much of work to profile orientation, no. But you must know principally what you're responsible for, what you're not responsible for. In many organizations, this doesn't take place. A person is doing a work X, he's pulled up for not doing Y, which is not his domain. And then gradually he's asked to do Y. Now all this is not good HR practice. It's not good HR practice. And in the long run, what happens? You lose the employee. Then you start crying that attrition is taking place. One of the causes of attrition is improper job profile. People do not know what they have to do. And certain things are promised very vaguely at the time of recruitment selection. When somebody is going to ask something in writing, it's not given. And even if it is given in writing, the employee himself who is joining, he is not clear about himself. It's a two-way traffic. It's not only on this side. Both the sides, people are confused. This is a very important starting point because this decides the satisfaction and the well-being of the employee in the company. This can't be ignored. Orientation of a job is another important part of job analysis. Established organizations usually employ past-oriented approach and carry analysis on the basis of what has happened in the past and happening currently. Fast-growing organizations and new firms employ future-oriented approach and analysis is conducted with the anticipated changes in the mind. A new IT company is coming up, let's say. So the new IT company, what would it do? It will try to look at the other IT companies which are already existing, which are already doing well. So they'll form that as a basis of reference and do the job analysis. They'll create jobs and analyze them based on the standards which are already prevailing. That is for existing ones and the existing ones in the same industry. But if you're getting into a new line of business altogether, for which there is no competitive information, then you may have to start doing it by some forecasting method, by trial and error, by judgment, by trying to compare it with something which is comparable, need not be from the same industry, since you don't belong, since it's a sunrise area altogether. So when that happens, then we have to make some, it's more a trial and error with an awareness. And then gradually we have to take it further. Okay. Sources of job data. Now where do we get the job data from? Various sources are, one could be employees. We talk to employees of our own companies and other companies in the same industry. And we get a lot of information about what sort of jobs they do. So there's a lot of data collection. It's not quantitative data alone, not about number of hours working or the salary packages that they take home. It's about the nature of job that they do, how motivated they are. There are intangible factors that you get when you talk to employees. Supervisors who are to whom the employees report, their seniors, the job experts, people who actually create these job profiles in all, consultants. Okay, existing job data maintenance, existing job data, whatever job availability is there, we have got a file of all the different jobs. So if we go through that, training manuals, all these things are different sources, and the sources must be recent and several sources must be used. I can't go by only one source, because this, we are dealing with human beings, we are dealing with intellectual capital, we are dealing with muscle also. People are doing manual as well as intellectual work together. So I need to, one particular source is not always correct. I need to go and do a lot of sensing with the different sources. And the data should always be recent. Now that brings me, that reminds me of how in companies they have job descriptions and job profiles which are created in a certain year, 10 years, 15 years before, and they are just kept as it is. Nothing changes. Now, economy has changed, businesses have changed, marketplace has changed, and that job description remains as it is. Now, nothing can be more damaging than that. So we need to take that job description and we need to keep on modifying it every year to suit into the current requirements. That's why we need to have very recent data, data which is very, very recent, very fresh, not something which is outdated, which is not relevant to what we have to do today.